Hi, I'm Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to the Pantheon Network.
We recently realized that we've been doing this show for almost 2 years and have rarely talked about modern rock and roll. That got us thinking, is rock and roll dead? The airwaves and billboard charts are dominated by hip-hop and country artists. The biggest draws on the concert circuit are all getting older. So in this episode of Prisoners of Rock and Roll, we're going to talk about the current state of rock music and ask ourselves if rock and roll matters anymore. We're going to play some songs from some bands and share our thoughts. Let's go. What's up, everyone? Welcome to Prisoners of Rock and Roll, episode number 52. I'm Bruce Kramer, and I'm just 50% of the insight and entertainment that's going to be coming through your speakers right now, because I'm here tonight behind the mic with my co-host and very good friend, my brother from another mother, Mr. Ryan McCusker.
Are you rocking?
Prisoners of Rock and Roll is sponsored by Boldfoot Socks and McCusker's Tavern at 17th and Shunk Streets in Philadelphia. What's going on, man?
Nah, man, coming off the World Series, you know, we didn't win the Phillies, you know, obviously they didn't win the World Series, but we were there. It was amazing. The bar was electric. It was a great time. I am completely happy of the whole turnout of the series. Like, I couldn't ask for anything more.
Yeah, man, I went to game five, and I think I was texting you. I would get down kind of early. I was sitting in the parking lot, and I had the playlist that we talked about in our last show. I had it on the speaker, had my pickup truck, had the tailgate down, was all, you know, had all the tailgate stuff. And
Did you get pumped up?
Was blasting some tunes, man. It was a great playlist. So
yeah, just like an American. Just like an American should sit in a parking lot and blast out metal.
Make everybody else listen to what I want to listen to. We were getting drowned out. Somebody had the full like those portable karaoke speakers, like those big ass, like 3 feet high. The guy had it on like a fucking hand truck. It was like blasting music. But in my own little 3 feet circle around my truck where I was sitting, I could hear my music and I was happy. So it's a great, we put together a great playlist. We always put together a great playlist, but
yeah, you know. I listen to all these songs and I try to put something good together for us. Yeah, I had a friend sitting at the bar saying he was listening to our playlist when he was working out. I thought that was pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah, it's always nice when we get a compliment from somebody. So, I mean, shit, I don't care. We'll take the hate mail too, but, you know, it's all good. But, you know, one thing that we realized that we didn't have on our playlist is a lot of newer music. And I think this has been on, again, this is another topic that's been on our list for a while. Like, is rock and roll dead? And I think it actually first started with, I suggested we should do a show like Can Gary Clark Jr. Save Rock and Roll? Yeah. Cause he's like one of the few like modern, rock and roll guys that I like. And it's kind of turned into this bigger thing. We're like, hey man, let's just talk about is rock and roll dead? And, I don't know. I thought maybe we start by just trying to answer that question now. And then maybe after we play the songs, we'll say like, has our opinion changed a little bit?
What does your opinion say? Is rock and roll dead, bro?
I don't think it's dead. I think it's more, a buddy of mine said this too, and I asked him. He said it's more like when we were growing up, if somebody said they're a jazz fan, you know, you're kind of like, oh, you're into some like more obscure type of music.
Yeah.
It's still there. I think it's hard as hell just to find it anymore. Like,
but rock and roll.
Yeah. Like if I got in my car and I just want to put on like some rock and roll music, like on Sirius, I don't even know what channel to go to. You know, I know there's classic rock.
Yeah. Classic rock.
Right. There's classic rock.
All this other shit.
Right. I listen to Lithium a lot for the 90s shit. But if I want to listen to like modern stuff, like there's that Alt Nation station. It was like, but does that rock and roll? It's just like, it's hard to find.
I don't know. Like, is rock and roll dead? But is the term dead? Rock and roll now, like rock and roll is like all over the place. It involves all kinds of different music. When rock and roll was just one thing, rock and roll, but now it's considered so many different things. I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying, is pure rock and roll dead?
It might be, man. Even out of all the artists that we're going to talk about, I don't know, whatever the playlist you put together has got 40, almost 50 songs on it. And we're sure we're not going to get to all of them, but there's some stuff on here that there wasn't much that I was like, oh, okay, this is just straight up rock and roll. Like in my mind, what I say is rock and roll.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to listening to a few things. Maybe I'll find something new and change my opinion. I don't think rock and roll is dead. I just think maybe the concept of it, everything's too safe now. Meaning like all the auto-tune bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, it's too simple now. Rock and roll used to be dangerous. Used to be a lot of things. A lot of the mistakes would become part of the songs, you know, and now it's like, oh, we're trying to make it sound like a mistake.
I have that in my notes. It's something I was reading. Yeah. Some of the stuff I was reading was saying that, you know, like music reflects the times, and we just live in a very digital age where it's like really, really easy to clean up a mistake in something. So the sounds that get produced, the music gets produced, it's very technological. You know, there's auto-tune and drum loops and all that other shit. I mean, hell, you know, we're two idiots and we're able to make a professional sounding podcast, you know? Absolutely. So it's like anybody can do it. So, and it's just kind of reflective in the music.
Yeah. I could just see how anybody can make music from their computer, which is great, you know, but again, it's like, it seems like there's so much shit out there. Like there's no grasping to it. It's just so much to it. You can't concentrate on one thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm out of touch when you say, oh, Machine Gun Kelly is the best rock and roll thing going on. I don't know what to think about that.
I was wondering this too. Like if we were the age we are now, when we were growing up, you know, in the 90s, would we look at the music and have the same opinion? You know, because at some point I think at some point you just get to an age where you're like, I listen to what I listen to, and I'm just kind of like, I like what I like.
Oh, I'm the same way. I mean, in my world, if it's not one or the other band, it's nothing. It doesn't, you know, I don't care about it.
But you also have a different perspective in that, like, you know, you're either playing in a band, so you're learning other shit, or like you're at the bar and you got the jukebox on and people are playing, you know, people are almost telling you what you're going to listen to. I know you have the kill switch.
It's kind of annoying. Certain
shit, but
it's not that bad.
Do people play a lot of newer stuff when they come in?
I guess so. I don't recognize it to be new. I just recognize it to be bad. Yeah. I don't know exactly what they're playing. But, you know, through the World Series, there's a lot of weird songs being played. But then, like, all these kids were playing Dropkick Murphy songs and Pogue songs. Yeah, I think that's, they were playing a lot of punk rock songs. I think there's a little underground scene happening still of the blue-collar punk rock thing, man.
Interesting. I find it is, if I want to listen to something new, I personally find myself, I'm going backwards, like further. Like I've been listening to the 50 station on Sirius like a lot. My wife and I both have been. And there's all kinds of stuff. They're like, oh, I heard it. I remember this song. My parents playing this. Or,
yeah,
I just, I go mining backwards instead of looking for new shit on the radio. But that, you know, that might just be me too.
No, it's me also. I try to dive into things from the past and then worry about what's coming into the future. You know, there's a few bands that represent rock and roll pretty well, you know, but I don't know. Remember when we were kids, it was like everybody had a band. It's like, you know, Guns N' Roses was your band and his band was Motley Crue and his band was Van Halen. You know, you all stood like to your band like an army.
The skaters and the metalheads would fight each other over, yeah. you know, like the shit that they wore and the patches on your jacket. Where that yeah. was, you're right,
and then
man.
We all, and then we all fight the jocks.
Right, right. even, you know, like, as, like, so we started talking about this over the weekend and we were messaging each other and I was telling you, like, I'm just looking for, like, some list of just who are, like, I didn't even know where to start. You know, who do I put on the list to talk about? And I was looking for, like, a list of top rock songs or top charts and shit like that. And it was like, I don't know, man. I must have been sitting on my computer for like a half hour looking. And I was like, dude, that says a lot about the state of rock and roll that I can't even find the list of what's big.
Yeah, dude, it's ridiculous. It's become such an underground thing. Rock and roll is now, like what we were saying during the week. It's not even the Grammys. They don't even like televise the rock and roll category. It's like right. we're so like not represented at all. Any rock and roll. Yeah, what do we have right now? We have the Foo Fighters. We have Green Day, we have Shine Down. You know, there's just like the same old rock and roll bands around, the same old songs.
And I forgot, I didn't put Green Day on the list, and maybe I should have, because also they've been around, like we were in high school when that album came out, right? So they, yeah. you know, yeah. so you're going on, they've been around for 30 years. But they're still doing it, right? They're still making music.
Which is
and
they're great. Still out on the playing, road. And- they're playing stadiums, like ballparks. They got to be doing something, right? I mean, I see them being like the band that's going to be talked about 20 years from now. If there were people who were going to talk about punk rock, they're going to talk about Green Day, which is kind of sad. But, you know, like down at the bar again, I try to talk about punk rock to these kids and they never even heard of some of these bands. They're like, oh, you ever hear? They said to me, Bruce, you ever hear The Clash? Yes, kid. I heard of The Clash. It's pretty funny. Like, I guess were we the same way? Like, being like that age and we thought we knew everything and it was new to us, so it was new to everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm a kid and I come across that and I'm like, oh my god, this is awesome, I gotta tell everybody about it.
Yeah,
I was like, that's kind of a cool moment. Like, I mean, like my daughter's had moments where she listens to you know, some song that she's been like, oh my gosh, do you know this? And I'm like I'm happy to see her experiencing what I went through hearing this. Yeah. You know, like those moments yeah. where like, I totally remember walking into a music store and they were playing something from Social Distortion. It was from White Light, White Heat, White Trash. I remember stopping, just going, what is this? And just asking somebody working there, like, what is this? I need to have
it. Oh, yeah. Like, just many times. Yeah.
Like, and that's like one of the greatest moments of music when you're just like, fuck. What is awesome. I love it. And I've had a couple moments over, like, doing the show where there's something that we talk about. And I'm like, dude, this is great. And I have never heard of this before.
It's one of the things what I miss about the record store. You're in the store and you hear the overhead and you know, that's how I always found new shit. You know, like I remember hearing, Teen Spirit in my local record store before it hit big. And I remember seeing the advertisements for it and everything like that. But that's like when rock and roll needed something new, is when like Nirvana came through. Like rock and roll was pretty stale then, with like we were coming out of the hair band thing and rock and roll didn't have an identity yet, really, you know. And Nirvana was the perfect thing to come along and you know, stir things up.
Something I read this week said that rock and roll has had a couple opportunities and they always shit the bed and fail and burn out quickly. And I never really thought of this. It was like you had the early 50s, right? So everybody was like, oh my God, what is this? And then like Buddy Holly dies and you've got, you know, all the Altamont and all that other, the day the music died. Then you had like Woodstock and then you go through like the early 70s of all the, you know, ABBA and disco and it kind of fades away. The 80s, you got some stuff is cool, but you've also got the hair bands. mm-hmm. you know, it kind of becomes a joke, and then it peaks real quick with grunge, and then it's kind of gone quiet again. So it's like they've had these couple moments where it's like it's really important and everybody captures the world, and then it just kind of fades away.
I think what they called new metal was around for a good, like Korn and Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
And that was like, that's what I remember.
Yeah. Know? And it was like, that was kind of like the late 90s, early 2000s. You know, we were both wrapping up our time spending in the music store. And yeah, that's when, to me, that's where I think a lot of that music was just shit. But
I agree. I really like Korn, but you know.
Yeah, you said that last episode. Another thing I read is said, like, and it's kind of weird that, you know, suddenly, like old rock and roll albums suddenly become popular again because, somebody dies, right? Somebody in the band passes away and they become really popular. They're all over the radio. Or it's like nostalgia, like this article, I think it was from Vice, was talking about the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack was like huge on the rock charts because, sure. yeah, he tooled around on the cassette tape with all that old music.
And that's a great soundtrack.
It is. Yeah, but it was kind of being like, it took that kind of like tongue in cheek that the dude's kind of being a nerd a little bit about his music to get back in front of people.
I think it's like his guilty pleasure, you know? Yeah. Like it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I love those movies.
I do too. Yeah. You know, another thing that I was thinking when I was putting the notes together was like, yeah, the stadium tour, the stadium circuit is full of all these old rock and roll guys, right? They're the ones that are selling out the big stadiums. And most of them now, like, they're in their 70s. What happens in 10 years when, like, the Stones and Springsteen and the Who and Roger Waters, they're all going to be dead?
They're all going to be gone soon.
What is going to happen to – Springsteen will live forever, and Keith Richards will live forever. But, like, what happens, man, when those guys are gone?
I don't know. It's something in the future I don't want to know. I think rock and roll is in dire straits now. Like, maybe I'm out of touch. I don't know. But, like, what I see around and what is considered rock and roll now from just the list that we put together and everything, there's a handful of bands on there. But then the other shit I just don't get.
Yeah. So I tried to put, as I was putting the list together, I tried to go into it with a really, really open mind. Cause when I first started listening to it, I'm like, this sucks. And I'm like, I don't want to be just like the cranky 46-year-old dude who's just like, you goddamn kids don't know what you're talking about. I tried to really approach it with an open mind. And there are a couple things on here that I was like, oh, you know what, man? I actually really enjoy this. I like this. And there's some stuff and I'm like, I know this is really popular. I don't get it. I just, you know,
is there a song you think right now that represents rock and roll?
Yes. So the one coming out of order a little bit here, but yeah, you know what? The one band that I thought was on this playlist that we put together that was just kind of straight rock and roll was Mammoth WVH. Wolfgang Van Halen. Yeah.
Okay.
I just thought that was the closest to just a rock and roll sound.
Yeah, he is very rock and roll. So yeah. He's like carrying the torch.
Yeah.
Not of his father. I don't think he's carrying the torch of his father. I think he's carrying the torch of rock and roll. I mean, Dave Grohl is definitely the number one supporter of rock and roll kind of thing. But here's Wolfgang. He's, you know, I don't know if he's even 30 yet, you know, and he won the Grammy last year for best rock and roll album was the Mammoth album.
Here, I'll we've been talking for a couple minutes. Here's Epiphany from Mammoth here's Epiphany from Mammoth WVH. I really like that, man. And
I like it.
I'm trying to separate it from, I'm going to listen to something from Eddie Van Halen's kid. Because that's not fair.
I'm totally separating it right now. I'm like thinking in my head, what if this wasn't Woofy? If this was another band, I question myself, would it, anybody care to start out with? Or, you know, if his, maybe if his image was different, he'd be a lot bigger. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It just seems
it's like almost like he's buckling under the weight of, like, you know, because you're inevitably going to judge him against him, right? And all the Beatles kids, they like all of those guys went through that too, or Bonham's kid, or
yeah,
you know, all any of those people.
I mean, I think there's a lot of pressure on Woofy. There's definitely going to be some kind of Eddie Van Halen tour, tribute tour. It's going to happen, and he's the final say of everything. You know, just seeing him at the Taylor Hawkins concert rip his dad's songs so naturally, it was awesome. It was great. He's a great face for rock and roll.
Yeah, but, I agree.
I've seen him in concert open up for Guns N' Roses, and I had to question myself, would anybody care if it wasn't Eddie's kid? Would they even be up there? Yeah, I had a hard time with myself because I found their show a little boring.
Really?
Yeah, I found it boring.
Okay.
I mean, it was fun for like the first like three or four songs, and then it just got repetitious, and you know, it was just
okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, and I tried to approach all this stuff thinking like, what would younger me would I enjoy it? You know, if I was 25, because some of this stuff, yeah, they're just singing about like. Subjects that I'm just not, you know, hey kids, we're doing this, or, you know, like the rebellious kind of shit. And I'm like, I'm just not at that stage of my life anymore. You know, okay.
There's one thing. Where does your notes start, Bruce?
If my notes started with, so Mammoth was pretty high up, but I was saying like just to kind of maybe, I don't know, bands that are popular or shit like that. I put the Foo Fighters on here. I don't know if we need to play shit from them.
I'd rather hear examples of what is considered rock and roll now. Like, let me hear something from that Machine Gun Kelly. I know none of his music. I just know him being Tommy Lee in that movie.
Okay. All right. So let's just get out of the way that then kind of like the Foo Fighters, the Chili Peppers, Green Day, Jack White. There's kind of those guys that have been around for a long time. They're still making music. I like every one of those groups. So. Cool. We're just acknowledging that they're here and they're making music, and we're going to move on. Okay, cool. All right. So comic book guy doesn't write us in. So Machine Gun Kelly. Machine Gun Kelly is a dude that I played. I don't know. Like somebody, I just read somewhere that he's popular. One day I was doing something over the summer and I just put it on my phone and I was kind of digging it. I was like, all right, I like this. Here's a little bit. This is, my ex's best friend. Is it wrong if I come up with you? We're both drunk on the elevator when I kiss you for the first time in New York City. I swear to God, I never fall in love. Then you showed up and I can't get enough of it. I swear to God, I never fall in love. I never fall in love, but I can't get enough of it. First off, I'm not sorry. I won't apologize to nobody. God, it's awful. I really like that.
Really?
Yeah, I think it kind of straddles, like it's got a little bit of hip hop to it and a little bit of rock and roll.
It has too much going on, man. There's too much, like there's too much to offer. There's too much offering going on. If it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's I can't concentrate on it at all. The only thing I can concentrate on is the auto-tune. It's so fucking clear as day. I can't get past it, and it's just, God, where would these bands be without auto-tune? What's that other kid's name? We'll talk about him probably, that Post Malone guy.
Yeah, I don't have him on here, but yeah.
Dude, like, there are nothing without auto-tune. And
that one fucking Cher song, man, in the late 90s, just started, it was like the first one to have auto-tune.
It seems like Machine Gun Kelly is a rock star / celebrity. Like, does anybody give a fuck about his music, or does they only care about who he's with at the moment? Like, it's
Okay. We're on completely different opinions of this one. This is cool. That's fine. I liked it. I remember when I was listening to it in the garage, I remember when my son walked outside and he was like, "Are you listening to Machine Gun Kelly?" Like he was shocked that I was listening to it. I was like, "Yeah, I'm kind of digging this."
It reminds me of Justin Bieber, bro.
See, I thought it was more like some of his stuff. It reminded me more like new metal-y kind of stuff, just a beat to it.
Just that song, the example that you played for me. It sounds like a boy band.
Okay. That was the top streaming rock and roll song of 2021.
That's fucking
according to Billboard. So,
I'm too old.
It's all good, man. That's why we're doing this. So, yeah.
I guess there's a whole young crowd out there that digs this motherfucker. You know, I don't get it.
All right. Well, I love that we just had completely different opinions of it. So, because there's so much music that we both are just like,
you're going to see him in the fucking Super Bowl this year.
You're going to see him in the electric chair in an hour and a half. All right. I'm going to keep rolling. So here's another band to my son, my youngest. So I asked all three of my kids, what do they listen to? And I messaged a friend of mine, Dan, in Boston, who goes to a ton of rock and roll shows, but he's into more like indie rock. So I was picking all their brains. I was like, what do you listen to? And my youngest, his 14, he loves the band Imagine Dragons. I mean, he's been like, if I have a wish to go see somebody in tour, that's who he wants to go see.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I told him, yeah, dude, they're probably going to like, he likes almost all the music we send to the electric chair. Like to the point that if I'm driving him somewhere, he asks me to put on the show and forward to the electric chair. And he's like, no, I love that song.
Sorry, little dude.
So he really, really likes Imagine Dragons. And I'm also kind of like, to me, they're kind of like.
They've been around for a while. They've been around for like 10 years.
Coldplay on Red Bull or something. I don't know. Yeah, they've been around for a while. They're huge, man. They sell a lot of albums.
They're huge. Can we play something by them?
Yeah, this is Believer. This is one of their more popular songs.
Okay.
I was broken from a young age, taking my soak into the masses, writing my poems for the few that look at me, shook at me, feeling me, singing from heartache, from the pain, taking my message from the veins, speaking my lesson from the brain, seeing the beauty through the
I think Maroon 5 has a lot to do with the sound of these rock and roll bands that are coming out. Like, that sounds like Maroon 5 to me. We have them to blame for all this shit, man.
It's
like, yeah, it's fashion little, rock. It's like, yes, fashion rock.
It's little, there sounds a little bigger than Maroon 5. It just got a fuller sound to it. But I see what you're saying, man. Yeah, it's like if Coldplay had a little bit more balls to them. You know, it's like a little bit more, Coldplay's got a very thin kind of sound. I don't hate it. I'm just kind of like, I'm not the audience that they're going after. They're going after somebody my kid's age. They're not going after 45, 46-year-old, dude who grew up on Zeppelin.
Yeah. I mean, but like, again, like, maybe we weren't planning on talking about like Maroon 5, but they're like a level of somewhere someone wants to be.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I didn't have them on the list.
We didn't have them. They're like a big, and they're a rock and roll band, right?
And they're another band that's been around for 25 years already. Like, they've been around for a while.
They remind me of Sugar Ray.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. Sugar Ray, though, was, we're getting off topic, but they were really, really heavy. And then they made that one song.
Yeah.
And they completely changed their image, which I totally get, man. Dude, if you're trying something and it's not working you hit gold, you cash in with that. You know, people called them sellouts. I was like, they're not sellouts. They're smart.
No, absolutely. In this business, fuck yeah, man. Sure. You got to jump on the gravy train where whatever, you know, any angle you can get.
Right, right.
But that's off topic.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. We could talk about them.
But Maroon 5, weren't they the Super Bowl halftime show?
Yeah, and he was taking his shirt off. And
we can't get Bon Jovi up there, but we got him. We got him. What the fuck? We can't get Metallica up there.
Did you read all that stuff with him too? Like,
no.
He was cheating on his wife, and he was texting the girl he was sleeping. Like, I'm gonna name my kid with my my wife's pregnant, and I'm gonna name the kid after you. Kind of like he was real. You know, let's hear.
Scumbag.
Well, he's not a scumbag. He's a shitbag.
Shitbag of the week.
Shitbag of the week.
Dun, dun, dun. Yes. What's his name?
Adam Levine?
Adam Levine. I don't know.
It's Adam Lambert was a guy saying with Queen.
You know, I'll take that kid over him any day. The thing that I'm ashamed about this dude from Maroon 5 is that he's a huge Fish fan.
Is he?
Yeah, dude. He's so fucking lame with his like tattoos that he has.
Somebody said he looked like a Chipotle takeout bag when they draw all over it.
He looks like a Gap ad.
Imagine Dragons was also Billboard's top rock artist of the 2010s. That was like the last like big age group I could find of artists, and they were the biggest. So
I guess so. I've definitely heard of them, and I know their stage shows are huge. And
yeah,
I hear they're awesome.
They come around, man. I'll take my kid. If my kid feels that strongly about it, I was like, dude, I'll take you. You know,
I hear their live shows are fucking great.
Yeah, I was like, yo, if you feel that strongly about it, man, rocker, you like. I tell them all the time. I was like, you like what you like, and just because I'm making fun of it doesn't mean I don't respect that you like it. You know, I'll never knock on you. I'll never dunk on you for liking something. So.
Everybody we're just going to wait 20 years later until you realize it sucks.
Right. All right. Here's a song. This is a band called Maneskin. And it's a song called Beggin' that I don't remember what the fuck I was looking at that I found this band. I was looking all over the place for artists and I didn't forget where they came from. But I really like this song and it reminded me a lot of, the band Live from Mental Jewelry. They're like they're an Italian glam band with some funk sound to it. I'll play a little bit of it. I really like this.
Okay.
'Cause I'm begging. I'm begging you to put your loving hand.
I was digging it.
That's fucking rocking, dude.
I liked it, man. It was like, it's not real heavy, but it was
what's
like,
what's the name of the band?
Maneskin. Like,
great.
MA with like a thing over it. Neskin. Yeah, they said they're Italian. And I was like, whoa, shit, man. It totally sounded like some like early 1990s. That was one of the bands I'm like, all right, man, I'll check out the rest of their stuff. I'm in.
I'll definitely check out the rest of their stuff. Yeah. Their sound is fucking great.
Yeah, it was cool. All right. Well, there's something we agreed on that we both liked.
Yeah, I definitely think they're keeping it alive. I'm going to check out a couple more of their songs.
Yeah, and they said I liked that they were described as a glam band. I'm like, there's not many of those still around. You know, like I don't have like Steel Panther on the list, but they're still, you know.
No, but they may like say glam in the way like of the New York Dolls was of like Johnny Thunders.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of, not like CC DeVille glam.
Right. Like Bowie glam.
Yeah, glitter.
I'm not comparing them. Right. I'm not comparing them to Bowie. It's just, you know, people before somebody writes in. Who else did I have in this top tier? The band Ghost. I know you don't like them. We talked about them a little bit in the Shock Rock episode.
I'm just not impressed. I've seen them in concert. I gave them a shot and I think they're overrated.
Who did you see them open for?
Iron Maiden.
So if I went to that, and I told this story in the Shock Rock episode, if I walked in, you know, I knew the name, I saw the what they look like, and I thought it was going to be heavy as shit. And when I heard it, I was like, whoa, this is not, it sounds more like that song we just played.
That's how I felt. I felt like this is what's representing metal right now. Everybody keeps on telling me about this Ghost thing, and he comes out and he fucking sounds like the guy from The Killers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, what the fuck?
Which is another band I should have had on this list, The Killers.
You know, they're
modern,
all right.
A modern. Yeah, they're okay. But like a modern kind of arena rock sound.
But but that's what like Ghost sound like to me when he came out singing.
Yeah.
Like they had like a, you know, a melatonin kind of sound, like very cool. But then he I'm waiting for some fucking metal fucking come out. And again, I hear some kind of fucking Justin Bieber fucking sound come out of the guy.
So they're kind of victim then of their own marketing, that the hype has gotten so big.
Oh,
that
yeah.
You expect, yeah, I was thinking this Pantera Slayer kind of thing. And then I was like, oh, this is just like hooky, poppy kind of shit. Here, I'll play something from one of their newer albums. This is called Spillways. The bass has got that real like twangy sound, like an Anthrax kind of bass. Sound.
Right? No, it's driven. Like the song has a driven thing. But then, like, what's up with that falsetto part that he's doing there?
And there's a lot of there was just a lot of like church imagery in those lyrics, like talking about like benediction.
That's his whole. Yeah, that's his whole gig. He gets dressed up as a priest or whatever he does.
It's almost like they're trying too hard.
That's how I always felt. That's how I always felt about them. Like, wow, they're really trying too hard.
Okay.
Like I always felt like Slipknot was trying too hard.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this band is just not as good as a band as Slipknot is to start out with, but like they're a fucking gimmick.
Yeah. See, you know,
Ghost is just a gimmick.
I don't like Slipknot. It's too heavy for my taste. And these guys, I don't know. I like their music. I agree that I think they're trying too hard. If they were coming, I'd go see them just for whatever the spectacle is going to be.
I was really disappointed.
Okay.
I went and said, let me go look at the merchandise while this band's playing. I was so disappointed. Everybody, I'm like, all right, here comes this band. It's going to be the savior of rock and roll. Here's the savior of rock and roll. And it's dude going falsetto, like not even cool falsetto.
Right, like King Diamond falsetto.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Do you like the band Muse? Do you know them at all?
Yeah, I like them.
They're okay.
I think they're rocking.
They play, they've been around for a while, and they play some really big, like they played like the Wells Fargo Center here, like where the Flyers and the Sixers play.
Sure.
And I couldn't get tickets. The last time they came around, it was sold out. And I was
I like them.
I just didn't expect them to...
No, go ahead. I had their very first album when it first came out.
Yeah, it was good. It's a little electronic, but it's also pretty rocking.
Yeah.
And they've got another album out. We'll play a little bit of that. Here you go. This is You Make Me... What song is this? All right. You Make Me Feel Like It's Halloween. The poison, are you the cure? I'm not so sure.
That was Muse.
Yeah.
Wow. Something totally different sounding than the rest of their stuff that I've heard. That was really weird. I don't think I liked that.
Yeah. I don't know if that was,
it sounded like it should have been a Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. And that might have been, you know what I mean? I went to their newest album and then pulled up what is one of their best, most popular songs.
Right.
So maybe because it was also Halloween that song was called Halloween, that maybe was really big.
Who knows? I mean, they have a bunch of songs I do like, but they're like a new product of a new wave.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like they're more new wave than they are rock and roll.
Yeah. You know what? And I'm not going to keep scoring all this shit because I'd have to run the computer and write things down at the same time. It was a good, nice idea. And I'm like, oh, I should keep track. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
Something else you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point, man, that they are kind of like modern new wave kind of music. That's kind of their sound. That's a good point. All right. What else I got? All right. So I also at one point I went into Rolling Stone and I pulled up the list of the top albums of the year so far, and it ranked them by like the score that they got.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, it has like, you know, it'll say like Lizzo, and the next to it'll have like a genre, like hip hop or whatever. So I just typed in the word rock, and the highest ranked band, or the band that is classified as alternative rock with the highest score, is a band called Willow. And I was like, okay, cool. And I put it on the list. And I went back today and I was listening to it and I was kind of figuring out who it is. Let me play the song first.
Okay.
This is Will Smith's kid, Willow. Yeah. Right. What you just did with your face is, yeah.
This is best rock song?
Alternative rock album.
What the fuck is she? Is it? I don't know. Is it a female, male?
So Willow Smith is Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith's daughter. She had that My Hair song like 15 years ago.
Oh, is this? This is the same woman. Oh, well.
And so she's in a band. And this was, for some reason, Rolling Stone classifies this as alternative rock music. And this was the highest.
It's awful.
I don't like, it's probably not bad, but when I step into it saying, okay, cool, this is alternative rock, and this is what I hear, I'm kind of like, what? This isn't alternative rock.
Do you remember when Jada Smith had a metal band?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah, hey, let me pause this. Let's turn this off. We're talking about it. Dude, we have to at some point do a show on when celebrities make
bad music.
Make albums like the Bruce Willis and all that, you know, all those celebrities that came out with band, like Steven Seagal has a fucking album out, all that stuff. Dude, would be great. I forgot when she was in that metal band.
Yeah. But, I mean.
Yeah. So that's her kid. And,
it sucks.
Yeah. I was like, I'm trying to
be positive about like what's coming up, but that alternative to me is the cure.
Right. If it was on like Nine when I was, if it comes on when I'm like in the mall or I'm like, I don't know, like I'm waiting to get a massage or something. Like that, it's that kind of music. It's just background shit. It's nothing.
It sounds like a song that should be in a sneaker. Right.
You go into fucking Old Navy and it's playing or something.
That's what it sounds like an Old Navy commercial.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. No good. The band The Hold Steady. I don't even remember that. Why the hell I put them in this top?
I never heard of them.
Oh, yeah, so The Hold Steady is like a alternative rock band. I've heard of them a couple times, but I also am a little biased because one of the things where, Springsteen does that radio show on his own channel and he talks about like shit that he listens to all the time. And he mentioned this as a band that he really liked and I checked it out and I really dug it. So here's, this is a song called Sequestered in Memphis by The Hold Steady.
When we got to the bathroom, we didn't go back to her place. We went to some place where she can't sit. She said, I know I look tired, but everything's fried here in Memphis.
I like that. I think it's rock and roll. It's got some organ in there.
It reminds me of the Counting Crows.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. Yeah. His voice is a little deeper, a little fuller.
It's a different kind of sound, and it's just like sounds like a poet more than a songwriter.
Yeah, it doesn't have that real thin. Yeah, there's no autotune on it. It's not overproduced shit. It's just like a.
It definitely sounds like something an older man would think is still rocking.
Which is why I like it.
Yeah, like you know, you're always going to be older than me. So just point that out.
Thank you. Yeah, man, I dig it. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that, you know, as much as I'm a huge Springsteen fan, a lot of the stuff that he mentions on that show that he listens to, I was like, all right, man, you're that guy who's just bragging about all the obscure shit you listen to. Cause some of it's just, it's just not good. You just think you're smarter than everybody else, and I'm sure you are. But that was a band that I was like, all right, man, I really dig it. I liked it.
No, it was cool. Yeah, very earthy sound.
Yeah, earthy is a good – that's a good point. All right, I have a next category that's called boring shit that all sounds the same. And so I had a whole handful of groups in here. So here there's a band called The Neighborhood that I guess they were popular. I really wish I would have written down where I came up – where I found all these names.
Do they go on tour with The Weeknd?
No, they're actually on, they're on tour with a band called The Marias. And the, one dude in the band actually just got thrown out for sexually assaulting the singer for the band The Marias backstage at a show.
Oh, wow.
So they're kind of like, they're also, you know, that guy.
Oh, hey.
Bag of the week.
No, this did absolutely nothing. You know, I'll stop interjecting my opinions here. It's called Sweater Weather. I want the world in my hands. I hate the beach, but I stand in California with my toes in the sand. Use the sleeves of my sweater, let's have an adventure. Head in the clouds, but my gravity centered. Touch my neck, and I'll touch yours. You and those little high-waisted shorts.
And that's on like a rock and roll list.
Yeah. Okay.
So bizarre.
So that that sound with like the it's got a little bit of a drum machine behind it, and it's got a shit ton of reverb on the vocals.
Yeah.
That is so. Wait, I'm gonna keep. Here's Skin and Bones by Cage the Elephant. They're really popular.
I know who they are.
Yeah, we trashed them in another episode, but.
And drift into the silence. Barely see the ultraviolet. Slipped and fell into the deep end. All the sidewalks shimmer just like diamonds.
Same.
Sounds like Everlast.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know?
It's the same, like, there's a drum machine and there's a ton of reverb. I have some more examples of this. So here, Arcade Fire. This is the Lightning 2.
I like it.
It's okay.
I like that. I like them. They've been around for a long time.
You like
they've been around
Fire?
For like 20 years.
Yeah. It feels like almost like when they're producing it, like the top and the bottom is just lopped off and it's real.
Yeah. I think that's the sound. That's how records are supposed to sound now because people listen through those shitty fucking little earpod things.
Dude, you've been an insightful motherfucker today. Like that's
I'm here to talk.
That's you're right, man. Like we're saying that you know, the music reflects the times and everything sounds so clean. Like you just don't hear a lot of dirty, like that blues guy I sent you today. We'll talk about him a little bit later. Like when something sounds dirty now, you're like, oh my God, it's so like you're used to that. It's so in the middle of the meter. I have like 20 other bands that all sound like the band Soccer Mommy, somebody told me to really listen to.
Put that on.
All right, here you go.
Try to run to color on my knees.
like if I went out somewhere and I had to listen to that live, I would get angry.
What's the name of that band?
Soccer Mommy.
Soccer Mommy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't hate it.
It definitely has some kind of Cure sound to it.
And I fucking hate the Cure. So I think that's part of my, I think that's part of my problem is, that like a lot of this indie music has got that same kind of vibe to it. Like they used to call it like shoegazer music, right? That you put your head down and you would stare at it. And I find that stuff just fucking annoys me.
Yeah.
And I can see why.
It's very, very downer. It's a Debbie Downer song. It sounds like it.
Yeah. And it's like a lot of the stuff now, it's like I'm at the point in my life where when I'm doing research for the show, I'm sitting at my desk and I'm working, you know, and right. I put the music on and I'm, you know, there's some stuff when I sit down, I put the headphones on and I'm not doing anything else and I listen, but there's some shit I'm like, I'm just doing other stuff. And I said this about the Clash when we were doing the thing on London Calling. There was like one song that was real kind of like mellow. And I was like, and I told you, like, I just got so angry and I was like, I got shit to do. I can't even listen to this. And you were even like, we don't have to talk about it in the show. And I was like, no. Like, and I find some of this music is the same way that it just kind of like whatever mode I'm in and I'm like, I just got to get shit done for work. And it's just annoying me.
But this kind of shit, rock and roll, like we've been listening to, it's like easy listening compared to what rock and roll we grew up on.
It definitely doesn't have that edge. That,
there's no edge to it.
Yeah.
There's no to it.
Right. And again, I think the edge is also knocked off in the production where they're cutting off that.
You know, everything sounds
the so. The drums are in a real, like there's no, you know, the different pitch and different types of drums. It's just, it's all just like kind of like chopped off and it's very thin. Narrow down and sounding thin. Yeah.
I'm with you, Bruce. I'm with you.
I had one other, this is a band called the Fontaines DC. And this is the song called Jackie Down the Line.
In the morning when I can't see those failing eyes, I can't find a good word for you. Does it come as a surprise? I don't think we'd rhyme. I will wear you down in time. I will hurt you, I'll desert you. I am Jackie down the line.
I just wrote Shitty Morrissey next to my
notes. Yeah, I heard Oasis. Yeah, that Roy.
Yeah. Roy. A lot of these songs, there's no chorus either.
They sound like they're on the fucking chorus line for Oliver.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Yeah, and all that stuff. So that ends my boring shit that all sounds the same category. And I'm like, it's largely boring. It sounds the same. Like, it does, Arcade Fire, I do like them.
Yeah.
And I put them in there, maybe a little tongue in cheek. But some of this other shit, I was like, none of that does anything for me.
There's no edge to it. There's no danger.
Right.
There's nothing. Everything's so fucking safe with this auto tune, man. Everybody's playing the safe. Nobody wants to be like experimental, like how Guns N' Roses was. Like, let me screech the highest I can in this fucking microphone and make it sound as metal as I can. Let's make it sound clean and safe.
We did the blues episode. We were talking about guys putting like a fucking switchblade over the guitar strings to make a sound, right? Like that danger.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no aggression to it. I feel like there's no passion to it. And I think that's a big thing that rock and roll is based around is passion.
I almost feel like I don't know if we could do a whole episode on this, but like why autotune was the fucking dagger in the heart of modern music. You know, it's like we played it like, I don't know, like Jay-Z has a song about like how autotune killed music.
Does he really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, cool. I got to listen to that.
But it's just, yeah, dude, it's no good.
Autotune is the worst thing that ever happened to music next to electric drums. Yeah.
Yeah. The drum machine. Like,
sure. That whole, I'm not electric drums, but the drum machine per se.
Yeah. Cause it just sounds inauthentic. It just sounds shitty.
Remember all those albums that they put like electronic drums to back in the day?
Prodigy and all that other garbage and came out like the late 90s.
Remember all how that DJ shit was big?
Yep.
Like in the 90s, like That Boy Slim.
Mm-hmm. All right, I have the next category. Maybe we'll do one more category and we can take a break. I called it loud shit that all sounds the same. So there's like a lane of modern music, like heavier stuff that, and I don't quite understand. I can't figure out what it is about them, but it all has the same. I think it's the drums.
Okay.
It all sounds the same. So, first is I have a song by a band called AJR. Called Bang, that again, my youngest really, he was playing it every time I got in a car with him this week. He was like, let me play this so you can talk about it on your show.
All right.
And be like, it, okay. I'll save my judgment.
Feel like I'm gonna puke, cause my taxes are due. Do my password begin with a one or a two? Been a hell of a ride, but I'm thinking it's time to grow.
Metronome.
Man, I'm up to something. Ooty-la-dee-do, thank you all for coming. I hope you like the show, cause it's on a budget. So ooty-la-dee-do, yeah. Come on, here we go, yeah. Come on,
here we go.
So put your best face on, everybody pretend you know this song. Everybody come hang. Let's go out with a bang.
So I should... Right? I should have had that. I should have had that in the category with Imagine Dragons, because to me, I'm like, that's the same thing.
The whole song part of it sounded like an Eminem song to me.
Yeah,
like it bounced.
Yeah,
like to a point. But then, like the guys, is he singing? Is he rapping?
Yeah,
I know that the auto-tune's all over that fucking shit.
Yeah,
I can't help but hear it. It sounds like a fucking. Like a drag.
Yeah. I had that in the wrong category. I should have played that right after Imagine Dragons, because that's like Imagine Dragons with like a bigger bass sound.
Yeah. What's the name of that band?
AJR.
Yeah. Well, you could tell your son that they suck.
Yeah. Okay.
Tell him that Uncle Ryan.
I'll cut that little piece out. I'd go get him right now. He's downstairs. All right. All Time Low. This is a song called Monsters.
It's too dance. There's too much dance to it, dude, for be rock and roll.
There's something with the voice, like, I don't know if it's the tone at which he's singing, but there's like a lot of bands that sound exactly like that to me.
I thought he sounded like that Jared Leto band, whatever the hell they're called. Mission to Mars or
5 seconds of Mars.
Whatever the fuck they're called. That's what they remind me of. We could talk about them being a newer band.
30 Seconds of Mars.
Yeah, I mean,
friend of mine from high school was the bass player in that band.
I remember you saying that with Jordan Catalano.
Yeah,
from my so-called life.
Yeah, Matt Wachter was the bass player. But that's yeah, dude, cool. Here's Rise Against. I think Rise Against sounds a lot like the band we just played. I like Rise Against, but
yeah, they've been around for a long time.
It sounds kind of like the same shit.
Let's hear it. Nope.
No, I like that a lot.
Yeah, I don't know, Bruce. I'm trying not to hate on that shit. I don't know what I think about that.
I feel like the drums are in a really narrow like channel. I'm not a producer, so I can't figure out like the instruments they should be more like there should be more going on. There should be louder.
See, I feel like there's too much fucking going on. Like, how can I explain?
I think I know what you're trying to say, but it's like it's more compressed. It's like on top of each other
that's another topic. That I'm trying to, it's very compressed. Everything.
There's something with the engineering behind it. That like, if you just let that go, and if it was like a wider sound and all over the place, it might sound.
It's like a program. It's like a certain program. I think I nailed it tonight. They're targeting to make music sound good on those little iPods.
You said that, and I was like, that's brilliant. And we just moved on. I'm glad you said it again because. How many episodes almost every episode, especially with this older music, we're like, dude, put the headphones on. You know, I'm wearing a $50 pair of headphones. Like, you don't need something. You don't need Bose or Beats, something kind of decent. And you hear so much cool shit. And I'm not hearing any of that.
Playing
right now. Right. Not in the head.
When they make these albums, they have to have that in their mind. Like, people are going to listen to this on these ear pods mostly or whatever version they have. You know, like nobody wants to carry around the big headphones Beats anymore or anything like that. Everybody just wants to hear things on their ear pods. You know, that's all people have time for.
And also, I think it's also the medium by which you're listening to it, right? Everything is streaming. Like I found something today. They said that only 10% of music now, like the sales are like people buy CDs. So the digital shit is like, it's a lower quality sound. So it's got to be.
Totally.
It's got to be in a more narrow lane.
Okay.
We just fucking solved it all.
Hey,
between the audio quality of what's coming out of your computer and the device that you're listening to it, it's just shitty. So they're tailoring it to sound good in that medium.
Wow. I think we're on to something, Bruce.
That's some fucking second level insight right there. No, dude, I really do. I think you're right. It's just, it's catering to how it's being listened to.
It's like, I don't know. I think we should take a little break and move on to like some of the
heavier stuff.
Some heavier stuff that's out. Yeah, man.
All right, man. So we'll take a little break.
Yeah, man. All right. Stick around.
We'll be back. So a good pair of socks or like a tattoo, a psychologist or diverse. A good pair of socks are like a tattoo, a psychologist, or a divorce attorney. Good ones ain't cheap, and cheap ones ain't good. That's why we're so excited that Prisoners of Rock and Roll is sponsored by our friends over at Boldfoot Socks. I love Boldfoot Socks because they're comfortable and they look good. I said on the show a few times that I just like musicians who are just good people, and I feel the same way about companies I do business with. Boldfoot Socks are made in America. They're veteran-owned, and they give 5% of all their proceeds to veteran charities. We're both down with that. I post a picture on social media of the pair I'm wearing right now, but it's a little weird of posting pictures of my feet. So instead, you can just go to boldfoot.com after you're done listening to us and check out all the amazing products that they have. And especially with the holidays coming up, they make great gifts. That's boldfoot.com.
Prisoners of Rock and Roll is sponsored by McCusker's Tavern at 17th and Shunk Streets in Philadelphia. There's something for everyone on the beer list and the jukebox at McCusker's. It's minutes from the sports stadiums in Philly, making it a great place to stop by for a few drinks before or after a concert or a game. Come see for yourself why everyone from Philadelphia Magazine to Playboy has called it one of the best dive bars in the city. Visit them at 17th and Shunk Streets in Philadelphia or on Facebook. That's McCusker's Tavern.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment of Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, so we're back from the commercial break. Thanks so much for sticking with us. So we're going to now move into some of the heavier stuff that we have on the
list. Yeah.
And I got a couple bands on here. The first one that I, and some of them are good and some of them, you know, we'll hear our opinions. The first one I had was Mastodon.
And love them.
That was a band, Iggy, you were like, you messaged me today and you were like, do you have Mastodon on the fucking list? Because
they have to be. They're like carrying the torch of what metal was. I don't think there's been a heavier band that's done something like this since the Pantera. I think so.
They're like but they're like they're like progressive a little bit. Like some of the, they're more
they're a little progressive. Absolutely. They're a little more complicated riffs and
yeah.
More musicianship. Can we play something from them?
Sure. This is Sickle and Peace. This is a song. Like I'm trying to find like somewhat modern songs. Here you go.
I really like them. I really like progressive rock. I like what they do. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't the heaviest thing that I've heard from them. That was kind of melodic what we heard. But I've seen them in concert. They opened up for Primus once, and most of the crowd was there for Mastodon. After Mastodon got done playing, everybody kind of left.
So did what you saw them in Philly?
Yeah, they opened up for Primus.
Yeah, because the warden and I went to that same show in Asbury Park.
Then you probably seen Mastodon.
And we missed most of the Mastodon because we were sitting outside the venue drilling beers.
They're and, a really
we,
great.
We were band there more line. To see. We were there more to see Primus.
Sure.
And,
sure.
You know, but I get it that Mastodon is more.
They're fucking
contemporary.
Great. Yeah, I believe that they're carrying the torch. You know, they're like underground. You know, you don't hear them on much, probably on any radio. Maybe you hear them on like Sirius, you know, but on like free radio, I don't think you hear it on MMR or whatever your rock and roll channel is, wherever you come from out there.
What is that, like Octane on Sirius? They play it a little bit.
Yeah.
My buddy Sean from Atlanta, he's written it a couple times. He's really into them. He's a big heavy metal guy. He's been like, oh, dude, they're awesome. So the next band I have on my list is Hailstorm. And I think they get a lot of attention because they have a female singer and they're pretty heavy. And I think you have some little bit of history with them, right?
Yeah. They're from the tri-state area. Not exactly sure where they're from, but I played with them many times on South Street at a place called Armadillo's or I can't remember, but also played the Dobbs with them, and they were awesome then. You know, she was a superstar right off the bat. Like I never talked to her or anything like that because she seemed like she was a star then.
I never knew that they were a local. I never knew they were a local band to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let me play a little bit. This is Wicked Days by Hailstorm. I like that. I never really paid attention to them.
No, it's rocking. It's definitely keeping rock alive. Somebody made a comment in the bar. It's like, oh, you can't make it in a rock and roll band anymore unless you have a girl singer.
I don't believe that at all.
I hear it more and more on MMR or my rock channel that you're hearing these newer rock bands that they're pushing and they all have chick singers, man.
Really?
It's something I've noticed. It was a conversation that I had.
Hmm. And I'm thinking Evanescence, but they're 20 years old. I don't even know if they're still making music anymore. I mean, she could fucking sing her ass off. I mean, she was, she could belt those notes. It was awesome. Hailstorm is, I don't have much of an opinion either way. I'm like,
people love them. Yeah. People love them. I know my friends, they fucking travel to see them, like, when they go on tour.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's kind of weird to hear that you can't make it without a chick singer, because that's also like it's such a male-dominated, genre of music, like heavy rock.
I think
rock.
It used to be. I think women are in charge now, like, of the music scene. Hmm. I don't know. Like, look, I'm sure we'll talk a little bit later about Taylor Swift, what her concert tickets things are, Chicks sell, man.
All right, man. And next I had on the list is I had a band called Beartooth that I don't know shit about. My oldest son loves them, and he's gone and seen them in concert a couple times, like by himself with his buddies.
That's cool. I don't know.
It's okay.
They had me until the fucking chorus came in. They had me like, all right. And then the fucking chorus came in and it sounded like sunshine coming through a window.
Yeah. There's just something about like the way the drum sounds is all this modern music just bugs the shit out of me.
It sounds very tight, like the drums. Like, it reminds me of how the drums used to sound for that band, Avenged Sevenfold, how they're their original drummer.
Yes.
His drums sound the same to me. Again, I love that dude.
Again, you're fucking on point. Avenged Sevenfold, I didn't put them on here and I should have. And tight is the sound because it's like, there's not a lot of highs and lows to it.
Yeah, I think these guys are making albums to make albums to sound good in a car prior to like sounding on headphones, because it sounds big. It sounds really big.
It does, but it sounds big without the peaks and valleys of it. And I thought the point of having all the different sized drums would be to get that different sound out of it.
Yeah. I mean, the most drum that I picked out through that was the bass drum, like the double bass drum. And I don't know, that's what reminded me of Avenged Sevenfold. Because they were dark at first. It was pretty dark, and they had me. And then the chorus came in, and it was like a totally different, lame song. They turned into Justin Bieber on me.
So is maybe the double bass drum is what I'm hearing. And I'm not I'm not a musician, so I'm struggling to try to put it into words, like what it means. But have you been hearing a lot of double bass on some of the shit that we've been playing?
No, I haven't. It's okay. The first time I've heard something like a steady double bass.
Okay. All right, so other band, I had Godsmack and Shinedown on here. I don't like, they've been around for a while. I don't think
Godsmack's been around for fucking 25 years.
Yeah, we were working in a music store and they were out. And Shinedown is, I like Shinedown a lot. I've seen them a couple times. I think
my friends follow them, like the Grateful Dead.
Really?
Yeah, they fucking love them. They like stalk them and everything, dude.
My daughter and my oldest son, they both really, really like them. I've taken them to see them. Well, I like them too, but I have no gripe against them, but you know, we've talked about them. They're enough. We don't need to talk about them here. I have a song by a band called Turnstile. They just got nominated for a couple of Grammys for like a best heavy metal performance. And, here's a song called Mystery by Turnstile. And it's been so long. So the mystery gone. And it's been so long.
It sounds like they grew up listening to Sum 41.
Yeah.
You know, it's
very, it didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, it's very like overproduced, very no real fucking thought into it. I don't know, but what the fuck do I know? I just have a podcast.
So they're up for best rock song and some other. Yeah, so that's up for a Grammy for best rock song. Whatever, man. It didn't do shit for me.
No, but this is what rock and roll is now, man. Like, what the hell is this? Ugh.
It had some yelling to it. Had a little bit of echo in it. I don't know.
I said, it sounded like they grew up listening to that Sum 41 album, and they wrote a whole fucking. They made a whole career around it.
So who is? Who is like responsible for this? Is it more like, is it the bands or is it like the producers that knowing that where we're going to listen to this shit, right? Cause you made a great point about like the headphones and you listen to it in your car and all this shit. Like, are producers driving this shit?
No, it's the owners of the record industry. It's the big wigs. They fucking say what's cool, what's not cool. They say how they wanted to make it sound like, you know, maybe they're the ones that are like, hey, people are only listening to music in these headphones now. That's always from get to point A to point B. That's all how they listen to music now.
I mean,
that could be like, a presidential.
Right.
Decision, you know,
right.
I don't know.
Right. Trump fucking ran on that. I'd be all about it. Like, make America, make rock and roll great again. I mean, like, listen to like. Here, let me just try something. Here's 10 seconds of this. I'm going to play just the first 30 seconds of this. To prove a point.
Sounds like my refrigerator motor.
Right. So that's the song we just heard. And then listen to the first 30 seconds of this. Look how fucking dangerous that sounds.
Yeah. This is a fucking intro.
Right?
This is an intro. Right. I don't know what that...
Everything like, we just said about the highs and lows getting cut off, like that, none of that is here.
Yeah. This is an intro. Right. Whatever that Atari system sounding...
Right.
Like, Game Boy.
Right. It doesn't sound like an old man. It's like, dude, rock and roll doesn't sound like that anymore.
doesn't sound dangerous.
No, when definitely you, when not. You have,
when you have bands come out of retirement that used to be dangerous and now they're old and pretending to be dangerous, there's something wrong.
Sure. Right. You're telling all the 20-year-old kids, you know, you're torn as a 60-year-old man.
And this is what we got.
Right. Much like we, when we open the show to Bob Seger, I like that old time rock and roll, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we both kind of said it at the same time, like, that'd be funny, haha, because we're, you know, middle aged dudes.
But there was some stuff I like. You got anything?
Yeah, dude, I got some bluesy rock and I got the leftover bin. So the bluesy rock, I got two artists that I want to talk about. And the first one is Gary Clark Jr. This is where the whole idea for this show started. Because a while ago, I stumbled across Gary Clark Jr. and I sent it to you. And I was like, dude, this guy is fucking amazing. And I was like, can we do a show on Can He Save Rock and Roll? And it's kind of became this bigger kind of thing. I love Gary Clark Jr.
Oh, yeah. I've known about him for years. Yeah, he's terrific.
Yeah. He's bluesy. Can we play?
Yeah, yeah, play man, yeah. Don't talk about it. Play something.
All right. Lowdown Rolling Stone.
Something's going on with me. I'm not who I used to be. No. Reach the point where darkness is my comfort zone. I know it's not what you came here for. So
I love it. I love
it too, but it's a shame that he's so underground. Like he can be the savior of rock and roll if he sells like 800,000 more records.
And he's not the savior of rock and roll because just rock and roll, the music industry is just not paying attention to him anymore.
No.
Right? No. It has nothing to do with him being black. Right, I think
we're, no, it has nothing to do with that right, whatsoever.
We're fucking past that, you know. But it sure as shit would probably draw more attention if the spotlight was on him, right? I just
totally,
yeah. You know, I just, dude, he could I've sing, him, he could play guitar.
Like I've seen him featured in different movies and stuff like that. People know who he is. I think, like, artist kind of guys or musician snobs like us know who he is. You know, I think he has an underground following. I think he can play bigger venues like the Met in Philadelphia or the Fillmore. You know, I feel like he has a great underground following. I don't hear any kids playing his music. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's not pop music, but rock and roll isn't pop music anymore. Our buddy Lance over at the Yesterday's Concert podcast, did an episode on him and he said he was disappointing, said he didn't rip it as much as he expected, but I'm still holding out, man, that Gary Clark Jr. is is the Obi-Wan Kenobi of rock and roll.
We'll go see him. He comes around, we'll go
yeah,
check dude, him out.
Let's go. Yeah, absolutely.
We'll get our own opinion about it.
Yeah. I had another dude in the bluesy category that I found today, just kind of digging around, and I sent you his guy Cedric Burnside.
Yeah, I dug this.
Is a song called We Made It. Dude, this was great. Here you go.
No matter how low I go, group up a poor boy, same trap in the corner to get by. I remember the days, y'all. All we had to do was right.
I don't know where you would ever hear that on the radio. But
probably really, WXPN. Do you know WXPN?
Yeah. Kind of XPN.
World Cafe.
Yeah.
World Cafe. Yeah.
Yeah. For
definitely hear that on there.
people not from Philly, that's kind of like a, like NPR, National Public Radio. Like, it's not NPR. No, it's like a independent. They play like indie music kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We play a lot of Grateful Dead, a lot of Fish, a lot of, like alternative things. Like you would hear Morrissey on there. And then the next thing you'd hear is Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great channel.
Yeah. I really dug that guy, man. I just stumbled across him today reading about the Grammys, I think. And I just started Googling. I'm like, oh man, this is really, really bitchy.
Yeah. I listened to him this morning. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So I think now I'm down to kind of the odds and ends bend of shit that doesn't fit in any other category. So I got some stuff that, frankly, that I like and that my kids like and some other people have recommended to me. So the first one would be a band called The Happy Fits that my daughter loves. She even, when we took the commercial break, she came running in and was like, you want to talk about The Happy Fits? So she saw them open for somebody and now she's like, I'm going to go see them all over the place. So, Let's hear. Okay. So this is a song called Mary.
Mary.
Mary's an animal, as sick as they come. Taste of a cannibal, on top of a tongue. She'll fill you with love and then drink out your blood. She's trying to kill me, but
I just want your.
Okay.
Is that a cello?
It did. Yes. Yeah. She said they had a cello.
They have a cello player always in every song.
Yes.
And it's electrified.
Yeah.
Were they called?
The Happy Fits.
Right on, man.
It's different. And the cello worked, right? It's like, yeah.
It's very deep. It's very metal. Attention.
Right. In totally. The deep. It has a deepness that you don't hear in a lot of other pop music, right? We keep talking about how thin everything is. So I was digging that as much as I was kind of breaking our stones, like, oh, okay, some obscure ass band you're going to see. I dug that. All right. So the rest of these this is all like very personal, like, fuck it. This is stuff that I like. Do you know a band called Lucero?
Nope.
Okay. They're a kind of country punk band. I've seen them open for Social Distortion. They have a new song called One Last FU. Here you go.
Yeah.
I love his voice.
I love it. What's the name of that?
Lucero. They had a couple songs in the opening of like The Walking Dead for a while.
Okay.
I would say they're the best band nobody's ever heard of. They're like they're a country punk band. He sounds like he just ate a roll of fiberglass insulation. He's just got a cool voice. I like them a lot. All right. What else I got on here? Chuck Reagan, he's kind of been around for a while. He was in a band, Hot Water Music.
Okay.
Kind of a punk band. He's had some solo stuff. And I'm playing this just because it has a very personal connection to me and it's kind of modern. And all right, here you go. This is a song called Something May Catch Fire.
Cool. Dang it.
I love that song.
How'd you come across that song?
Dude, that's actually a pretty funny story. So I work with a guy, who is in my company's office in Germany, and he went to college in the United States. And he was over here for a meeting, and he's really into like the Ramones and everything. And I love talking about music. And I'm like, you know, oh, you're German and you like the Ramones? And he's like, yeah, do you know the Chuck Reagan? And I'm like, I have no idea who you're talking about. And he's like, you have to listen to the Chuck Reagan.
Holy shit.
And he heard him like when he was in college in like Wichita, Kansas, he saw him come through on a concert.
Yeah, I mean,
really cool.
Very
and
cool.
He's in a punk band called Hot Water Music that is kind of, I don't think they're really around anymore, but.
What was the name of the guy that we just heard?
Chuck Reagan.
Chuck Reagan.
Yeah.
Love
he's
it.
He's got like three or four albums, man. They're really, really cool.
I dig his sound right on. Yeah.
You get a little bit of some orchestral kind of shit going on. So I got three more. One was a girl called Courtney Barnett that a friend of mine, my buddy Dan from Boston, messaged me and said, check this girl out. She's pretty like rock and roll. So I'm going to play this and if it sucks, we'll just cut it out. This is called Pedestrian at Best.
I like it.
Yeah, I was digging it.
I like it. I thought it was very like punk. Yeah, Susie and the Banshees.
Yeah, it was groovy.
Yeah,
it was groovy.
I like okay. that.
All right. And the last artist I have on the list is King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Yeah, I remember the name. I don't.
It's weird as shit. And I had never really listened to him. And I know, again, like our buddy Lance over at the Yesterday's Concert podcast is a really big fan. And I put a little bit of credence in everything that he says. And then a couple of our, being on the podcast, the Pantheon Podcast Network, there's like a Slack channel where people talk about what they're listening to. And this came up and all kinds of people were like, dude, they're great. They're great. They're great. And I was like, I don't get it. And they're like, well, you have to go see him live. And then I heard this one song and I was kind of like, I was feeling a little bit. So they're a jam band. And I asked you figuring that you would, you know, you'd probably be more into this kind of shit than me, but
I heard of them, you know, so let me hear them.
Here you go. This is Magenta Mountain.
A little bit too electronic for me.
Yeah, it's really eccentric. I figured you wouldn't. I'd be curious to hear what you thought.
Like, I could see maybe being in the jam band world, there's a electronic jam band called the Disco Biscuits, and maybe they fit in with them. But I don't really like Disco Biscuits, so okay. I don't know. I really didn't like it. I thought it was kind of boring.
Yeah, I've heard that like live they're really good. But I also don't think I could sit through that live.
It's kind of boring, man.
Yeah, it's just not my bag. But
not my bag, baby.
Well, we listened to, I don't know, 30 different artists tonight. And
did we?
We came pretty goddamn close.
Yeah, man.
It was a long show, man. We normally clock in at 2 hours. I think we're going to go over that tonight. But whatever, man. We'll figure it out. We haven't gone over 2 hours in a while. All right, some second thoughts. The only second thoughts, I got a couple second thoughts. It's really very selfish. The first one is we just recorded a spot for the Song Facts Podcast annual Christmas special along with all of our Pantheon friends. So if you're into music, you've probably gone on the songfacts.com just by accident. You're Googling for some shit about what certain songs mean and everything else. But they have a podcast and it's really cool. and they do a Christmas episode every year where they ask all the other shows on Pantheon to contribute. And we're on there. We were on there last year. It was really great to contribute. And we've got our own Christmas special, our third annual. I don't believe I'm fucking saying that.
It's unreal, bro.
The third annual Christmas special is going to be coming out soon. And
is Santa finally going to visit us this year?
I hope so, man.
He took skipped over us the last couple years.
He took a shit down my chimney the 1 year.
So. Well, you were a bad guy. Or, you know.
I woke up the one morning, dude. No, the last 2 years, I woke up on the Christmas morning and the warden was in my house.
Holy shit.
Man, that's how like bad am I, man?
That's like coal in your stocking plus.
Oh, yeah, and a second thoughts is if you ever read popmatters.com, they're pretty big, like, online music magazine. I have an upcoming article on Johnny Cash's American 4 album that he did with Rick Rubin. I'm really looking forward to that. If, I spent the first 20 years of my career as a writer, so it's kind of cool to get the dust that off and write a little bit. It was Dude, it was awesome being like, oh, write a 3 to 5 page paper on this album.
And
it
was like, ooh, gladly will.
And I'm up to like 6.5 pages and I'm still, I have to submit it tomorrow. Dude, but I used our episode on Johnny Cash and Rick Rubin is a big, inspiration. And I went back and I listened to it and I was like, man, we did a great job on that episode.
I don't really go to our catalog and listen to our shows, but. I really enjoyed that one because, yeah. You know, Johnny Cash is a original rocker. No matter what kind of music he was a Hellraiser rocker.
Yeah, it was cool to get to, and especially to try to write something that's supposed to be like an academic paper about Johnny Cash was really cool. It's kind of, you know, I'm a nerd, and it was cool to do that. And it was also to go back and listen to our episode. I'm like, we did a good job on that, so. Second thoughts are kind of all about, you know, stroking us off. But that's okay, man. It's our show. We'll do what we want. All right. Music news. I got a whole bunch of shit on here. So some stuff that you wanted to talk about. So the first one was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame held their induction ceremony in Los Angeles on November 5th. The class included Pat Benatar, Duran Duran, Eminem, The Eurythmics, Dolly Parton, Lionel Richie, and Carly Simon. There's a whole bunch of other, you know, like early influencers and shit like that. Judas Priest got in for music excellence. But the biggest moment is the jam that they hold at the end of the show.
The last couple of years, they haven't had a jam.
Yeah, they haven't really had a big, it hasn't been a big, like, ceremony.
Yeah.
But this year was several artists got back up on stage. You know, like, I mean, to me, the biggest jam was the one where, like, when Prince was playing, he was just tearing it up. But this year was, Dolly Parton. She got up and sang Jolene. And it was like all these other, like, Simon Le Bon from Duran Duran, Annie Lennox, Sheryl Crow, Brandi Carlile, Pat Benatar, but Rob Halford from Judas Priest got in and he was singing Jolene with her. And he was like, he was leaning in and he's got, you know, the leather jacket with all the studs all over it. And, he's a big Dolly Parton guy. He kept saying, like, he kept trying to get a picture of her with doing the devil horns behind her and stuff like that. You know, he's an older dude now. He's got all white hair.
He's a closet gay man his whole life. I'm sure he loved Dolly Parton.
Right. You know? And I would love, actually, we should do an episode on them too. Like his, when he finally stepped out and be like, dude, I'm gay. And, you know, like at first they rejected him and then like he's back. And it was like, dude, who gives a shit, man? Dude, you can sing your ass off. You know, I never got any of that kind of stuff. And when he got ostracized and, you know,
other shit. Out of the band and shit.
Right. It's like, dude, you fucking rock and roll. Who cares?
He put a great album out when he left.
That new metal kind of song? That new metal album?
It was, the band was called Fight. And they were like fucking heavy. They were really heavy.
He had like a solo album too in the late 90s. What is it called? Two or Halford? I don't remember. But it was like, I remember watching the videos and I'm like, this is pretty bitching. It's on YouTube. It's all bootlegged right now because the official show premieres on November 19th on HBO.
I'm sure it'll be on there.
So. I'm looking forward to it. The jam is always a good time. And, it's really cool to get to see, some of the band. I really like the Eurythmics. I was really glad they got in. Two more stories. First one was Taylor Swift. So you want to talk about this a little bit.
Holy shit, dude. This is like unreal with these tickets.
So Taylor Swift tickets went on sale for her upcoming tour, and the results were predictable. The site crashed, fans were locked out, and then the tickets flooded the after sales market for way more money than face value. So a floor ticket at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey was listed right now for $21,600. Atlanta, $35,000, and Glendale, Arizona, $17,000.
No, see?
Like,
I don't know what the fuck's going on with
you. Nobody's paying
why
that.
Why do they think people have this kind of money?
Nobody's paying that to see that.
I bet somebody will.
I work for a very large company that's like a $6 billion a year in revenue. We're not paying that. We're not buying that for anybody. We're not like, just yeah. nobody's like, there's more than the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, it's at crazy. Some point, and you know, when that happens, then there's a bunch of senators are tweeting like Live Nation and Ticketmaster should never have been able to merge and it's collusion and all that. Like, you know, as much as I'm a free market kind of guy, nobody's fucking buying those tickets. There's nobody.
See, like the Fish fans are all making fun of like this whole fiasco with her tickets because this is like what happens when Fish goes on sale all the time. Like, get used to it, bitch. You know what I mean? This is what always happens.
But not for that money.
Not for that kind of money. But just so many people want tickets, it shuts down. And then, like you said, other people buy the tickets and you have to go secondhand shopping. Right.
But you feel like it, you know, at some point in your life, you're like, okay, it is what it is. I'm going to pay it.
Yeah, but it's not like it's like John Lennon come back to life playing with
right, the not 21 grand. I mean,
she's going to have a fucking HBO special anyway at the end of the fucking right. run.
Right.
I think I'd rather go see Pink's show. She's coming around.
Yeah, she's playing downtown Philadelphia too, right?
Is she? No, I didn't read that.
I thought
I know she's playing like she's playing Fenway. I don't know where she's playing anywhere. She's playing somewhere in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure
yeah.
where.
Yeah, and Pink is a she's a Philly. She's a Philly girl. You know, and, yeah, and I don't knock on. We talked about Taylor Swift a little bit last episode. I don't knock on her. There's nothing. I have nothing against her music. It's not my bag. But it's just pop music.
I think
I ain't paying $20,000 to see her.
She takes advantage of her fans because they're so in love with her that they will pay that money. And, you know, she's all about it. She's all about it.
All right. The last story I had was the Grammy nominations. So the 2023 Grammy nominations are out in case you listen to the Who Gives a Shit Network. And I pulled up a list of the best rock songs and the best rock albums. So the best rock songs are Red Hot Chili Peppers, Turnstile, Brandy Carlile, The War on Drugs, and Ozzy and Jeff Beck. We didn't talk about half of those artists.
No.
So the Red Hot Chili Peppers, we acknowledged at the beginning. Turnstile, we talked about. Brandy Carlile, I have no idea who the fuck that is.
I know who she is.
Yeah, I don't. I'm an old man, get off my lawn. The War on Drugs, I like them. I think I had them in my notes. I didn't talk about them. They're a Philly band. Do you know, do you ever listen to Kurt Vile?
No.
He's like a local. He was in the War on Drugs. He split off. Kind of cool. And Ozzy, you know, of course is Ozzy. The best rock albums, the nominees are the Black Keys, Elvis Costello, Idols, Machine Gun Kelly, Ozzy, and Spoon. We talked about a couple of them. And I don't know. Dude, I don't care.
The Grammys are clueless. All those motherfuckers are so clueless about what is dessert. Who needs an award for music anyway?
Yeah.
I mean.
And it almost makes you think like Ozzy's just going to win it anyway because he's.
Ozzy.
You're right. He's ill and he's old. And
there was one in there that I like the idea of them winning. Who was the second nominee you said?
Elvis Costello.
Yes.
I like him a lot. He's coming in.
He's coming. Yeah, I like to go see him.
February.
Yeah.
Let's check out the dates, man. See if we can make it happen. He had like a cancer scare a while ago. He was kind of ill and he's getting older. And yeah, I like him a lot. And I like to see him before
I've seen him. I've seen him with the guys from the Grateful Dead at Radio City Music Hall.
No shit.
He came out and sang all the Jerry parts.
No shit.
Yeah, it was great. It was amazing.
We have to do the we have to do a concert memories show. All right. Electric Chair. You want to kill that Bon Jovi song?
Fucking right.
All right.
Because it's getting close to Christmas.
All right. Cool. All right. So now we're going to move on to the Electric Chair. And whether you've been listening to us for a long time or not, the Electric Chair is when we kill a song because it stinks. We started that way back in episode 4, and here we are on episode 52. And before we did this show, we recorded a bit for the Song Facts podcast on our favorite Christmas song. And we did one around Fairytale in New York by the Pogues. And we were talking a little bit about the Bon Jovi cover and how it's the absolute worst song of all time. And we said, we're going to, you know, Christmas is going to be here. By the time you listen to this, it's going to be really close to Thanksgiving. So we're going to kill Fairytale in New York by John Bon Jovi.
Oh, dude, it's so bad.
We trash canned this before too. Like, I think in our Christmas episode on Bad Christmas.
Now, I say on the show all the time, I grew up listening to Bon Jovi. They were one of my favorite bands growing up. I am so fucking embarrassed of this. I'm embarrassed of what he's been doing for the last 10 years.
The song is actually, if you watch it on YouTube, the comments are disabled because it had so many bad comments.
It's fucking awful. I mean, it's just when it, okay, the man can sing a ballad. He's doing okay here. We'll wait till it picks up.
But the song is not, it's not supposed to sound good, right? It's,
I like, know, but he can't.
It's Shane McGowan with his broken teeth and his, you know.
Fucking right.
You're a drunk, you're a bum, you're a slut.
He's the last
you're
person.
Slut, old slut on drunk.
He's the last, John Bon Jovi's the last person that should be singing this fucking song. His teeth are too nice to begin
it'd
with.
It'd be like Sinatra sang it or something.
I'd believe it. I'd believe it more. I don't believe it. John Bon Jovi singing this song.
Sammy Davis Jr. singing it.
Yeah. I just want to hear him sing the upbeat part. God, it sounds awful.
He's trying to sound like the Irish accent.
Yeah, like he's
too.
Acting. Like he's acting. He's like profound Italian guy. He like comes out, I'm an Italian guy, blah blah blah. Jersey,
we normally
blah, blah.
We normally talk over all these, like, God, there's not many of these songs so that we play that we're speechless.
I'm so embarrassed of what he's been doing for the last 10 years. Dude, he needs to stop and get Richie Sambor back in the band and be a nostalgic band instead of going out there and doing new things. Let's just fucking kill it, dude.
We sentence you to death.
I had a supplemental music news story that Richie Sambora was somewhere recently and somebody asked him about, like, hey, are you thinking about rejoining the band? And he was like, we're talking about it.
Yeah, they're going to have, go ahead.
No, I'm scrolling to the part of my notes. It's still fucking, the song's still playing. So Richie Sambora admitted that he's had some discussions with his bandmates in Bon Jovi about rejoining the band. He was at a red carpet event and they said, would you guys play the 2023 Glastonbury Festival, which is like a, you know, the huge UK festival. And he said, it's a possibility. We're having a lot of talks about it.
Well, so next year is their 40th anniversary.
So
you're going to see them tour with Richie Sambora. Though they fucking better. They're going to lose a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
John Bon Jovi goes out and still thinks he can write new albums and go out and play those fucking songs live and not play like the nostalgic songs because he can't fucking do it out. Richie Sambora, he sounds awful because those guys' harmony is like fucking amazing together. John singing without Richie is like peanut butter without jelly.
But really, all that shit we just talked about, all those music, all that bands, imagine like, you know, those two come in and they just, you know, hey, we're here.
Right? And they just like, rip it the fuck apart.
Right, right.
I don't know, Bruce.
I think we need them.
Get off my lawn.
Right. All right, so that's a wrap on episode 52. Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform and tell a friend about us. Man, listen to all this music. I'm fucking exhausted from through all this stuff.
Holy shit.
Man, if you want to hear this kind of stuff and you're looking, if you're an old get off my lawn kind of person like us and you want to hear some of this new music, we did the work for you, man. You can just hop on Spotify. You can check out the podcast playlist that we put together. There's a link in our show notes. And if you're looking for a link in the show notes, you can also find out a link to prisonoftherockandroll.com. There's a link to our Facebook and our Twitter accounts. And if you're not down with social media, you can always email us at show@prisonoftherockandroll.com. So, final thought, man. Have a very merry Thanksgiving, dude. We'll be back after Thanksgiving, you know, and very happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners. And, you know, we'll be back. We got a couple episodes left. I think we're going to be winding down season two.
Yeah, my man. Yeah, the time flies, my man, with this show.
We normally end with a Christmas episode. So I think we're going to have figure out when we're going to do that. We know what we're going to do and that'll be our finale. And then, we'll be ready to rock and roll for season three. I'm amazed that we're even saying that.
They're stuck with us. People are stuck with us now.
I love it. I love it. All right. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Keep on rocking.
Peace out.
I'm just a prisoner.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.